Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Fabulous. Okay, hello. Hello, can you hear that crunching noise? Listeners, I'm on a walk because I need to record an episode of Homo Sapiens, this Exhibit A, but I've been working like a dog, D-A-W-G, to spell it, and I need to get outdoors. I need to move. You know that feeling? We've just been sitting at a desk. So it's the most beautiful frosty day. I'm going to take a picture of the church. I'm going to take a picture for you. Oh my god, magic. There you go, picture. Oh, and I'm going to take a picture of a horse. So there's a horse. And so I'm coming to you live from a walk. Just walked through a turnstile. Birds are tweeting. There's frost all over the ground. And I'm walking in the English countryside in the Cotswolds, because that's where I live, as you know. But it's just the most beautiful day, and it's good for the brain, isn't it, to get moving. Good for the soul. How are you all? Big news in the Sweeney McDonald household is I'm going to Australia. So any Aussies that we want to interview for the podcast, please write in and let me know. I'm going to be there over Sydney World Pride as well. Or is it just called World Pride? Can't remember now. So that'll be exciting, because guess who's performing? Kylie! So that's cool. There'll be all sorts of big names there, I'm sure of it. Is anyone listening, planning on going? Anyone want to be my plus one? That's not why I'm going to Australia, I'm going for work. But don't you worry, we're going to stay on air. I'll be broadcasting to you from Australia. Every nook and cranny, I'm going to be on the Gold Coast, near Brisbane. Never been. People say it's called Bris Vegas. Can people please tell me if that's accurate or offensive or both? And the dog's got an eye infection, so that's a whole thing. He's being very brave. So he's got eye drops. Those are going in twice a day. And my mother's coming to stay today, which will be lovely. We're going to hang out. She's bringing some ingredients to make a courgette pie, which is just so nice, isn't it? You know, my mum calls me up. She's like, what have you got there? Have you got this? Have you got that? Ingredients whose names now escape me. And I said, yeah, I think so. Right, I'm going to bring courgettes and a couple of other bits, and I'm going to make a pie when I get there. She's so lovely. And I feel very lucky because I love hanging out with my mum. She's actually been on an episode of this podcast, by the way, for anyone who remembers. She got into the back of the car once when me and Will were recording because we were picking her up from shopping. So that's my big news. It's travel, it's mothers, it's dogs. Now, today, this podcast is called Homo Sapiens, Chris. You'd think by episode 497 that you'd know that. On today, I'm walking up a hill, and it's actually, you know, always at the beginning of the walk, very, very sprightly, because I think part of me is trying to get it over and done with, even though I should just stop, smell the roses, frozen roses. Just look at the view, Chris. I'm going to slow down. So today we've got Baby on the show from Drag Race UK. Baby is a non-binary artist and performer and Drag Race icon, kind of no longer identifying as a drag queen. Very interesting, because if you remember, Baby left the show. Baby eliminated themselves on episode 5. going into a field full of sheep. If I get attacked, please call 999 or 111. You'll be able to hear if I've been attacked. Did sheep attack? No. And when baby left, she said it was for her mental health and kind of lifted a lid on a lot of what was going on at Drag Race and a lot of the pressure that she felt. And very interesting. I like the way she's going about her stuff. You know, now as baby outside of the competition is releasing music. One, two, three, four. Really good music, kind of reinventing themselves. I think it's interesting, you always get these people who are like you had it with Big Brother, you had it with Love Island, you had it with I'm a Celebrity, like the early days of something, people just sort of commit to the competition and go through with it. And then I think people start to kind of rebel against the format, or not rebel, maybe it's not as active as that, but like choose to say if it's not working for them. And Baby spoke really beautifully about mental health, and so many people have responded really well to what Baby said about their own mental health. So I'm very excited to chat to them. You know, we talk all about Drag Race, we talk all about mental health, we talk all about growing up and music, and get all the skinny on all sorts. Okay, for anyone who wants to know about walk progress, I'm at the top of the hill now. So, oh, thank God it's down here. So hopefully, I've got to take you all another picture. This is unbelievable. Wow, look at that. Have you caught up with last week's episode of Juno Dawson? Lots of lovely messages about that, so thank you all. Get in touch with us. Hello at homosapienspodcast.com or on Instagram at homosapiens. Tell us what you thought of the episodes. Tell us what you connected with. Tell us what you didn't. Tell us everything. We'll talk about it. A problem shared is a problem halved, people. And send Agony Uncles. What are you wrestling with? Is it what to wear on Saturday night, or is it bigger? I don't know whether to get back together with my ex. Or exes, plural. We'd like to hear them. Let's sort it out. On to messages. I would do a keyboard sound, but I can't because I don't have my keyboard, because I'm in a rambler now. We are rambling together, all of us. A lot of you listen to this podcast while walking the dog and things. So it's quite nice. We're walking together here. Slow down, would you? John got in touch about last week's episode with his story about skiving PE. Oh, John, I love this. Writing fake notes from my parents to excuse John from PE due to my ongoing back issue. Heart emoji, rainbow emoji. We must have been just behind you. Class of 2000. I always said there was something in the water. So this was in response to Juno telling a story about how queer people always skive PE. I mean, did you do that? I know I did. My cricket teacher actually told me to bring a book. They said, do you want to bring a book next week? I.e., there's no point in you playing the sport. Which I'm grateful for, to be honest. Jack also got in touch about the Juno episode. Jack is a trans man. Great episode of Juno. Men like me rarely get to speak on these trans issues. And that's okay. I'm fully aware that my trans sisters are in so much more danger than me, thanks to misogyny. Weirdly enough, cismogyny is also why I remain A, invisible, and B, not a threat when I am exposed, because a man with a vagina is not a threat, apparently, in brackets. And trans male experience is comparable to trans women's and femme non-binary people's in that passing is what gives security. Trans men and non-binary masks that don't pass as cis get the lion's share of discrimination amongst men. But sexuality also plays a massive part. I know my position as a gay trans man is a more complex than a straight trans guy, for example. At the end of the day, this interview just shows also how, just like the rest of the LGBTQIA plus community, trans experience cannot be reduced to one homogenous thing. So true, Jack. I will always use my male privilege to try and stand up for, protect and advocate for the women in our community. My life isn't perfect, and there's a huge layer of misunderstanding of the trans male experience. For example, you only have us on to discuss pregnancy or parenting. I'm waffling, but our experience is worth a chat too. Well, Jack, I want to say thanks. I love that you took the time to write in and point out a very good point. So what we should do is let's have a chat. Come on the podcast. Let's talk about it in a broader sense, because you're absolutely right. That would be lovely. Cool. Let's get it booked in. We'll get that sorted. Thomas has been in touch after writing to his MP about Westminster's decision to block the gender recognition reform bill in Scotland. Thomas, I love this. Activism. Okay, wrote to my MP, Alan Dorans, yesterday, who is SNP, and he wrote back today. Top bloke and a trans ally. Good, we like them. Alan wrote back stating, with my colleagues in the SNP in Westminster and Holyrood, I will vigorously oppose this move as a direct attack on devolution, on democracy and on the rights of trans people. It's important to note that the UK government already recognises and respects gender recognition certificates issued by other countries. Such a good point, and thank you for reminding us. The same should legally and morally apply to those issued in Scotland. Yes. Thank you, Thomas, and everyone write to your MP. You can Google how to do it. Maybe we'll put it in the show notes. Let's do it. And then Madonna announced her tour. And then we were asking anyone if anyone has got tickets. I mean, it looks like you'd have to sell your house to get them, but fine. It's just so expensive. Like, why does it have to be so expensive? To be honest, I couldn't name you a single price, but that was what I was gleaning online. But unless you've seen it, Chris, don't comment, because otherwise you're part of the problem. This is why we get this hysteria online. I've never even seen the ticket prices. I take it back. I'm sorry, everybody. Hey, so Stephen got in touch with a very demure, calm message about Stephen's own ticket adventures. You will remember Stephen, who often features in our Christmas special for some reason, with wonderful voice notes. Homo sapiens honeys, I believe, is what he calls us normally. But let's have a listen to his voice note.
Did I manage to get tickets for Madonna? Yeah, I did actually. Got some really good seats. Did I manage to get tickets at the O2? No, I didn't! I'm going all the way to Copenhagen to save our mother, Madonna!
Stephen, it's just a matter of time before you get your own TV show, isn't it? Hang on, I'm going to have a sip of coffee. I brought a coffee with me. This is no novice rambler you got here. Without further ado, let's have a listen to this lovely chat with Baby. There's two parts, there always is. We had a giggle. It's a really nice chat. Here you go. Baby!
Hello.
We've had such a funny time. Baby's been on like 47 different devices trying to get this interview started.
Yes.
It's been like going down to a branch of Dixon's with you, if I'm honest.
It was just like an event. I feel like sometimes you've got to like work for things. And I would put in work for this interview, do you know what I mean?
Listen, it's suspense, right? Is that it's all part of life as a performer?
Yeah, you know, the ups and downs, the dynamics.
Yes, dynamics. Mm. Exactly. So what about in your family dynamic? Like, where did you grow up and stuff?
So I grew up between North London and Essex. So it was, I was in like Wood Green, Turnback Lane, like North London.
Oh yeah.
My dad was down. And then around six, me and mum moved up to Hainault. If you know Hainault by Newbury Park. But I basically grew up around there. And obviously like saw my dad on weekends in like North London. It's kind of like split between the two.
Yeah.
So people ask me where I'm from, I'm kind of like both. I have like a suburban mentality with like a hood heart. Do you know what I mean?
I love that. What is Ilford like though? Because Ilford is Essex, right?
So it's like the border. So where Hainault is, it's like really weird because the Londoners are like, that's Essex. And like people from like deep Essex up Billericay, like South End, they're like, you're not from Essex. And we're just like, well, somebody claim us, please. Like it's, yeah, I don't know.
That's interesting. Growing up as a queer person, I mean, would you...
You could do queer person.
Okay. What was that like in that part of the world? I find it quite macho is my image of it.
But it was horrible. I'm not going to lie. Because obviously we're in the suburbs. I think being gay at school is like a bit of like a... And then I was like the only like gay black person in like the whole area. And it was just like, you, we're going to pick on you.
That's rubbish.
Yeah, it's rubbish. But like, I don't know. It's like character development. I hate to say it because I hate to be like bully people. It makes them grow. But I feel like in the things that I like about myself are because I've been bullied, I think. Mm-hmm. So I think the amount of like compassionate empathy and respect I have for others because I know how it feels. I go out of my way to be very nice to people and I kind of like that about myself. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, like it sucks that we're here now.
Yeah. Adversity is terrible. But if we're to look on the plus side, like it's like it does help you grow, right?
Yeah.
And I love that it's, you say it gives you empathy because I think that's so true and lacking in this world.
Yeah, no, I find that, I don't know, I feel like, especially with like being performers and stuff like that as well, like you kind of like have to keep on going and you kind of like have to like focus on yourself, especially where in the drag scene now, it's so obsessed, there's so many people, it's like you kind of like sometimes end up stepping on people's toes to do some stuff, and it's like I'm one of those people that's like, no, like if I said I'm gonna like help you get this gig, I will help you get this gig, because like it's just important having that like sisterhood and having that like that camaraderie, I guess, because we are still like, even though there's lots of us, we are still like a very like small subsection of society, so I like to think there is some kind of allyship going on in some capacity.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So, but now, am I right in saying you're no longer calling yourself a drag artist? Is that true?
Yeah,
or a drag queen.
Like, I'm kind of just, yeah, drag queen. Yeah, no, I'm just vibing. I just see myself as just like an artist and a performer person. I think doing Drag Race, I was like, oh, like I feel uncomfortable. Why do I feel uncomfortable? And then it's like, you need to like put on more makeup. It's like, but I feel uncomfortable wearing that much makeup. Like, what about this journey is feeling uncomfortable to me? And obviously we're still in the process of figuring it out and whatever, because like evolving, growing as a human being, but at the moment I'm just happy being some non-binary bitch who can dance and makes music and acts and things and models and does really cool shit. I don't mind being that person, that's fine.
It's enough and it's working for you, by the way.
Thank you.
But one of the things I love about you is I feel like you're someone in like a prison drama who broke out, like who, like, you know what I mean? Because I feel like there is a real devotion to the Church of Rue or the Church of Drag Race, you know, like,
yeah.
And I think that's quite interesting. Well, you tell me, but like the breadth of what drag means and the evolution of it that is not new, you know, it's important to note that like drag has been very varied for a long, long time. And but then there's the kind of commercialized version of drag and all of that. But it feels like people are breaking it up and making their own rules a bit more. So many brilliant people are doing that.
Of course. Yeah, no, I feel like I kind of got lost in the commercialization of it a little bit. I feel like because I've obviously watched the show for years, I know that like when I go on the show, I'm going to be wearing like my new fishnets. I'm going to have my corset on. I'm going to be hitting certain silhouettes. I'm going to be hitting certain things. And then I have to give the judges variety and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And I feel like washing it back, I'm kind of just like, oh, like, that's me, but, like, that's not, like, the purest representation of my artistry. And I feel like the way that I want to represent my art isn't suitable for that platform. And to be like, yeah, fair enough. Like, maybe that's not the way that I want to go about it. So some girls are quite like, you know, rhinestones and the feathers and the bells and the whistles. I'm just like, I just have a really cool top on with some titties on it and a little mullet and I'm having a great time. To me, that's fab. Like, to me, that's like fashion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm doing my own thing.
Now you're making me think, not prison drama, you're making me think of when Jerry left the Spice Girls. Like, she didn't want to be manufactured. She was like, I'm going to do it my own way.
I feel like you're putting words in my mouth, sweetie. I don't know.
But in a way, it's more fashion, so maybe you're Victoria Beckham. It's just so many ideas are coming to me right now.
Yeah.
Will you come back for the reunion? That's what everybody wants to know. But you've been doing DragCon.
I did DragCon. You know what it is? I feel like DragCon was like kind of wrapping a bow in the experience. I think I kind of needed it. Mm-hmm. I think obviously we filmed it so long ago, then like, you know what's happening. Everyone's like, baby, I'm rooting for you. You're sick because you did good at Girl Group. And I'm like, oh, like, I'll leave in a couple of weeks. No one knows. Then kind of like going through that emotionally again was very like kind of complex.
Yes.
And then doing DragCon, I kind of got to see the fan side of it. And obviously, like, now I've been in the show, so much of what we're doing is behind the scenes stuff, and you're having meetings with BBC and World of Wonder and stuff like that, but actually getting to go meet the people who actually watch the show and have nothing to do with making it kind of helped me put a different perspective on it.
Lovely.
And when, like, mums are like, yeah, mums are like bringing their kids to like meet me and stuff and like crying, like, oh, like, thank you for inspiring my daughter. I'm like, I am not inspirational, but like, it's been that, like, thanks. That's, you know what I mean? Like, that's really, really cool.
I'd yes, say. You are, baby. You know, when you're at those things, I think it's amazing to go and meet the people who are watching for exactly those reasons you just said. It's like, what a true connection. But what does drag represent to people? What is it they're connecting with if they're not from the LGBTQ plus community in any way?
I guess it's just seeing queer people's humanity. I think that's the only way I can describe it. I think mm-hmm. Drag Race is a very good way of like telling people's stories and telling people's narratives and kind of like putting in depth behind why that person is the way that they are. And I think people getting to see kind of the struggles that we go through and, you know, the adversity that we face in life and stuff. I think people can find that very inspiring and like kind of get an insight into the community. Because a lot of people that live in like somewhere in the middle of nowhere in England, they don't know any gay people. They've never had a conversation with a queer person. Like, that is their only insight into that. And I think, yeah, again, the humanity is what draws them in. They go, well, like, this is just some person make up, like, dancing or something. This is a human being. If it kind of like breaks down the walls a little bit.
It's really interesting that, isn't it?
Mm.
Because I don't know, I sort of go, why do people have to be shown that in order to think that's the case? You know, don't we all kind of understand fundamentally that everyone's going through something?
Yeah, but well, obviously, I think subconsciously as humans, we feel the need to like relate to people or find ourselves represented mm-hmm. in some, to have some form of like connection. So obviously, looking at some like girls on like some like drag show, they're like, I have nothing to do with you. Like, why would I care about that? But when you see the humanity, you go, oh, I've been through something like that. Oh, actually, you're a person like me.
Mm-hmm.
Then the empathy and the sympathy comes in, and then the respects, and that it all kind of like comes in through humanity.
Mm. Yeah, that makes, I mean, it makes a ton of sense. And then when it's come to your new project, you know, doing music and you've got your song Theatre, which is amazing.
Thank you.
Tell me a bit about what, because, you know, I read that, you know, it's an ode to queer rage and mm-hmm. I read that and then I go, you grew up listening to loving TLC and Kylie Minogue. And I think, how do these things feed into each other? Where is the queer rage in Kylie spinning around?
So I think I always really loved pop. No, not always, actually. When I was about 13, and I started learning piano and stuff, that was pop songs are the easiest songs to like learn. Because it's not the easiest to learn, but it's easiest to like, get like, the sheet music for it. They're like, the easiest to find covers of it and find tutorials of it. So I kind of like started leaning more into like pop music and stuff. And then I really like the way that they're written. I like the traditional structures and the way that they're like applied and like played with. And for me, if you listen to like the that kind of like pre-chorusy bridgey bit, like when they jump the sun, I'm feeling that, to me is such as like standard like pop. Like here's it has like the sections of like here's this rhyme scheme, we're gonna make the melody change with this bit and give a bit of variation there. And I really find that so amazing. So I wanted to start slam that in, but also like I was angry about some stuff and I needed to release that. And for me, I wanted to play with the both sides of it, because I think the theater was more about like, you know, wanting to be successful, wanting to achieve these things, wanting to be that person you visualize yourself as, but actually in that environment sometimes giving into your rage is like the best form of like self-preservation. And I feel like I had to, I guess, give into like the theatre or the drama of like leaving Drag Race just to fucking save myself.
Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of self-belief to make that decision to go.
I think I believe in myself a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So who instilled that in you?
It's probably about my mum, to be honest. She was so like, you can do anything you want. You're going to have to work hard for it. But anything you want to do, you can do it. You're talented, you're kind, that you've got this. And think always kind of like, let me know that like, it's not going to be easy. But if your heart is the right place and you have enough work ethic, like, sure. So that's where, like, mum put me in, what, like, tap dance classes and stuff when I was, what, like, 8? Wow. It was like, oh, you like dancing? Okay, well, we're in North London. There's loads of gangs. How about you go and dance every weekend and do something really productive with your time? So then by the time I'm, like, 13, I'm like, okay, cool. I can do all this really cool stuff. And I get to just, like, then focus on the artistry side of it. I think when I was like a teenager that was like, you know, you learn all the instruments, you learn like classical singing, you learn like singing in the choir. And like, I feel like I got all the skills, but I didn't have any life experience to manifest that in the way that I wanted it to be. It was like, I was like 18 singing very vague songs about love. So I've never been in a relationship, but that has nothing to do with me. But now I'm 27 in a couple of months and I'm grown. I've experienced life a little bit. I can take the technique that I have and apply that artistically to make things that I think are really, really cool.
Yeah. Because you went to the Brit School, right?
I did go to the Brit School, yes.
So that famously, for anyone who doesn't know, is where like Adele went, Amy Winehouse went. Who else went there?
FK Twigs went.
Jessie J went there.
There's a few.
So did you have a chat with Twigs on Drag Race?
Oh, no, literally. Like she was just on the desk and we didn't get to speak to her. I think she had something else on. But I think, to be fair, even getting to speak to her on the main stage was, like, enough.
Because
obviously you guys see such a small section of it, but I did get to have a bit of just, like, I really love you, you're awesome. And like, getting to do that was, like, cool.
That's lovely. Yeah. I'm still walking. Calf muscles seizing up a little. Let me just stretch that. Don't ever do stretches. I do the exercise and then I think, can't be bothered. Literally just want to go and lie down, face down on the carpet. And I know it creates injuries, but you know what? I don't think I care. It's not bad. That's the end of part one. I'm still walking. Part two, I'll still be walking. Go and get it on the feed.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Powered by Spirit Studios.